This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
I feel like tonight's going to be all Tar Heels.
Here's Baker. Here's Anthony. Anthony flips it cross court out of a double team for Robinson's first shot of the tournament.
North Carolina outclasses Virginia Tech. I think when they last met, it was the low point of the season for UNC.
Largest lead for the Tar Heels now at 9. Tough shot. Interesting by Brooks, and Carolina's got their largest lead of the night.
Carolina's going to have the home crowd behind them as well, so the Tar Heels are through to Wednesday, 9 o'clock tomorrow night to face Syracuse.
Tar Heels have won 4 of their last 5. They'll move on to meet the Orange of Syracuse, who they beat by 13. You're simply
the best. Yes! Finally some credit for where we were right, and in fact, 3-for-3 so far on the tournament, with Wake Forest's loss to Pittsburgh and Clemson holding on against Miami earlier today. We'll get to Danny Manning's future in 15 minutes. We are broadcasting live from the Greensboro Coliseum. Round 2 action of the ACC tournament. But let's begin with the Tar Heels, because they looked terrific last night. Mike Young said that the environment felt like the Smith Center. Brandon Robinson, he's breaking ankles. He's hitting step-back jumpers, reminiscent in this building of Randolph Childress 25 years ago. So the big question for North Carolina now is, how far of a run can they make here? How deep can they go as their tournament lives are on the line tonight against Syracuse? They, of course, have to win the ACC tournament, it seems like, to have any type of postseason. Remember, you can be under 500 and still make the NIT. So if you want to make the NCAA, of course, you have to win the next 4 nights. I think the Tar Heels have enough to beat Syracuse at 9 o'clock tonight. I don't think they have enough to make a run, and I'll tell you why. Exhaustion has to play a role in tournaments like this when you're so accustomed to playing maybe once or twice a week for the last few months. Now, I get the argument, okay, the guys are 18, 19, 20 years old. They play AAU basketball, high school ball, and they're used to playing multiple games during the day. But college basketball, it's a different type of athlete that succeeds at this level. It's a different type of game. It takes different things out of you. Also, you're playing a Syracuse team, back-to-back nights, that runs a zone defense, that everybody knows what Syracuse is all about, the 2-3 zone Jim Boeheim's run all these decades. But it makes you work more than anything else for your shots. You're going to get some shots at the perimeter, but if you plan to get it into Garrison Brooks or you plan to drive with Cole Anthony or any of your guards, they're going to make it difficult on you. So even if you do get past tonight, I'm concerned playing late night Tuesday, playing in the latest slot Wednesday, later tonight. How are you going to fare when 9:15, 9:30 rolls around tomorrow and it's the Louisville Cardinals you're going up against? Also, let's not discount the injuries either. Every single game for North Carolina, every single one, it seems like somebody's getting banged up. Last night was no exception. They win big against Virginia Tech, but Christian Keeling, he rolls his ankle. It seems bad. He is helped off the floor. He returns to the game. Coach Williams said, even though there's about 10 minutes left to go and we're up 15, he wanted to get Keeling in there because his fear was if he just sits him on the bench and he's available, then that ankle can stiffen up. He came back in and he looked pretty good. But even late in the game, Leaky Black gets hit with an elbow right in the mouth and you're concerned about his health too. Every single game this happens. B-Rob against Duke and Cameron on Saturday, you're concerned about him. Armando Bacot, we didn't know, despite how good he was in Cameron on Saturday, we didn't know if he was going to be ready for that game. Armando. So I do think they have just enough to get past Syracuse tonight. I think it's a good matchup for the Tar Heels. They're going to have the home crowd for sure. It was a tremendous crowd at the Coliseum last night. We expect no different later on. But beyond tonight, I just don't see it. Louisville is an awful matchup. They are the last team in the league that North Carolina wants to see. The aggressiveness of a Chris Mack team. The way they're able to match North Carolina's bigs. You got Brooks and you got Armando Bacot. I'm just waiting for this. You got those two, but on the other side for Louisville, okay, they'll match you with Sutton and Malik Williams coming off the bench and Jordan Mora. Good luck, North Carolina, trying to bang with those bigs. That's why Louisville won so convincingly 2 or 3 weeks ago in the Yum Center when those two teams met. So I think North Carolina is going to win tonight against Syracuse. I don't see it going past tomorrow, 9:30, against the Louisville Cardinals in the quarterfinals. It is exhaustion. It's injuries. It's a bad matchup for North Carolina. But I did like what I saw last night, and it's kind of a good feeling for these seniors North Carolina has. The grad transfers, Christian Keeling trending upward. Glad to see he got back from an injury. Brandon Robinson having his moment. You feel good about that, but I think it ends tomorrow. You can tweet the show at SportsHubTriad. 336-777-1600 is the phone number as we're broadcasting live. Robert Walsh is at our home base in Kernersville. Sawyer Dillon is on site. And the rest of our Sports Hub Triad gang is hanging out as well. Andrew Carter going to join us in over 20 minutes. Once a week for the last few months, we've been doing our Bachelor Minute. I love The Bachelor, and I make no bones about it. We're excited. They're going to be coming to Greensboro for that Bachelor Live event. So we did our Bachelor Minute yesterday. They had part one of two for the season finale. I left the Coliseum in a full sprint last night around 9 o'clock, 9:30 last night to get home just to watch the Bachelor finale. So here's what we're going to do. Right at the start of the show, an impromptu Bachelor Minute to close this season of The Bachelor with Peter Weber.
So it's another ongoing, never-ending series of The Bachelor. Will Pete push the limits of what's acceptable on national TV?
Yes.
Is Pete here with the intentions of hooking up with as many of the contestants as possible?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes!
Or is it simply the free booze?
Woohoo!
Pete is on the clock. Welcome to the Bachelor Minute.
Sawyer Dillon is joining us on site here, fellow Big Bachelor fan. You were just in our courtside seats here at the Coliseum as action's currently going on between NC State and Pittsburgh. And you're texting me complaining about the fans. You want to get that rant out very quickly?
I mean, just some of the fans. If it's a traveling call or a double dribble or an out-of-bounds call that's fairly obvious, you don't have to trash the refs for it. It's just one of those things. Maybe an iffy foul call you can trash them for, but just yelling at the refs saying that they suck the whole time if it's just a travel violation isn't the way to get on the good side of the referees.
NC State fans are always going to NC State fan. That's what I say about that. All right, let's start with the Bachelor Minute. Robert wins on a technicality. Robert had Hannah Ann at the very beginning in our Bachelor pool. Sawyer, you had Madison as your second round pick. Hannah Ann got proposed to because on Monday's episode, dramatically, Madison decided to leave. That's what happened. And Peter did not tell Hannah Ann while they were, like, bottle-feeding baby kangaroos. It was a wonderful date, but you knew something was probably going to go wrong. It happened the most absurd way. Robert, get this. You got Peter about to get on one knee, and that is the moment he decides to tell Hannah Ann Madison left 2 days ago. Yes, Sawyer.
I have a conspiracy theory here. When Peter is about to get down on one knee, he looks at the rose, and then the only words are, Madison, and then he looks at Hannah Ann. I think he actually thought he was giving it to Madison.
Oh, my gosh. You're saying that he was thinking about Madison,
yes.
So then he decided to say, she left 2 days ago. You know, like when you're in a conversation with somebody and you say somebody else's name by accident, and then you find a reason to say why you said that person's name? Like, if I'm sitting and Robert's here, I'd be like, Robert,
is the guy who's producing this show, Sawyer.
Exactly. So that's what it sounds like, too.
That's a good conspiracy theory. The last thing he said was, Madison left 2 days ago. Oh, Hannah Ann, will you make me the happiest man of the world, or whatever it was. Very absurd proposal, but here's the part where you win on a technicality, though. Madison decided to come back into the fold for the live episode, and it seems like they're going to try and work on their relationship and get it right, because a month after he proposed to Hannah Ann, he goes all the way to Los Angeles to see her just to dump her. And Hannah Ann told her off, or told him off, excuse me. She played the game the right way. She did everything you're supposed to do. She got the engagement. She's technically the winner, which means, Robert, congratulations, man. You are our Bachelor winner this season.
I'm the best. I won. You hear that, Sawyer? You beat me in a tricycle race. You beat Joel Berry in a game of 2K, but you are not beating me in The Bachelor. I know too much. I'm too informed and picking this stuff. I'm the champ, or rather, I'm the winner of The Bachelor season, whatever the heck this is.
It was a Reggie Bush-like season. He had his Heisman taken away in 2005. But when you ask who won the Heisman that year, Reggie Bush won the Heisman, right? Hannah Ann, she doesn't get the actual engagement and get married, but she won The Bachelor season. She was very methodical. She played the game really well. It was an all-time great Bachelor season for Hannah Ann, just an awful one for all of us to watch. But let's get to Peter's family, because his family dynamic is so messed up. And I'm not just talking about the fact they are very comfortable talking about each other's lovemaking in front of each other. Not great there. Barb Weber here, Peter's mom, during the live show was cheering on Hannah Ann while she was telling off Peter in the video. Like, standing and applauding this girl who she met for, I think, what, 10, 15 minutes, maybe a half hour, right? She's on national TV cheering for her, telling off her son. Seems like she's angling for a TV show. She is shaking her head every single time Madison is talking. And then she dropped this line. Sometimes you need to fail to succeed. It's not going to last. That is Peter's mom talking about his relationship with Madison. It's not going to last. Hoo boy. What a dramatic end to this Bachelor season. Congratulations to Robert. Thanks for playing Sawyer. And yeah.
But let me tell you this. I would watch a Bachelor where the moms got to pick the dates. Like, it could be called, like, Mama's Boy or something. And it's all of these guys who have a crazy relationship with their mother. But the moms get to pick who they actually marry or date or propose to. I would watch that.
Your halftime score, NC State 35, Pittsburgh 32. One of our state's best writers, Andrew Carter, is going to join us in a little over 15 minutes. But coming up, an update on Danny Manning and his future at Wake Forest. This is The Drive.
Here comes the life of the party.
The Drive.
Corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
With Josh Graham.
Programmed for low expectations.
On Sports Hub Triad. Woo!
We've got Andrew Carter from the Raleigh News and Observer with us now. His story from last night. Cole Anthony is washing his hands 22 times a day as ACC confronts the coronavirus threat. Before we talk about some of the things that could happen this week or next week, as this same building's going to be hosting NCAA tournament games, I'm interested what you found most interesting, aside from the fact Cole washes his hand 22 times a day, what you heard from players yesterday, how they're feeling, the general tenor of how they're approaching what's become a national crisis.
Well, to me, Josh, you know, I thought what was kind of interesting is that the players seem pretty unconcerned about this whole thing, I think, at this point, which is not necessarily surprising. These are, you know, first off, they're pretty young kids, you know, most of them about 20 years old or so. That's not really in the, you know, the target age where you really have to be worried about this thing necessarily from an individual point of view, you know, talking about coronavirus. And obviously, too, you know, these guys are here to play in a tournament. And, you know, they're focused on basketball. you know, that's obviously the most important thing on their minds.
They're told to drown out the noise, drown out the media, so maybe some of those same practices you use on stuff like this too.
And I think to different degrees and stuff, probably different teams may be more attuned to what goes on beyond the world of basketball. Like, I get the sense that maybe, you know, Roy Williams might be talking with his kids about some of this stuff, judging from his comments last night.
Let's actually hear those comments very quick, because I think we have them lined up. Robert, this was Roy Williams from last night speaking about the coronavirus and the potential effect it could have on the tournament.
It's a terrible situation. I mean, it's scary. I mean, at the end of the game, I was mad at myself because I shook hands with all the other guys, and I meant to give them the elbow, you know, hit. But, no, this is not a good situation in our country right now, and we don't have a great handle on what's going to happen next. I watch CNN most of the day today, and about every hour the numbers go up of the cases, and numbers continue to go up about the people that we've lost their lives. So on a humorous note, I get frustrated because they talk about old people, and they started that at 60. I'm 69. God almighty.
Yeah, so maybe that might be the difference between the players being worried about it and maybe Roy Williams saying, we should probably take this a little more seriously.
It's a very Roy soundbite right there in a lot of different respects. I mean, I think he gets it, certainly. I would hope that most coaches in their positions kind of understand the severity of this and the seriousness of it. But yet here we are. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that, you know, the ACC, and not to criticize the ACC, because certainly they're not alone in this decision.
Of course.
But, you know, you look at what different conferences across the country have done. The Ivy League just announced 10 or 15 minutes ago that they're canceling everything the rest of the spring. The entire sports spring season from this point forward is done. Obviously, yesterday they announced that they're not going to play the men's and women's conference tournaments in that conference.
Can I tell you how Jim Boeheim responded to that? I didn't post this, but Jim said, or Coach Boeheim said, I don't know him that well.
Oh, you can go with Jim. He likes it, I think.
He likes Jim? Well, Jim said that if they feel so strongly about not having the Ivy League tournament and such, why not send a statement by not sending Yale to the NCAA tournament? Why not say, hey, we're not sending any of our schools to the tournament, because they're going to have a lot of schools around there, a lot of players are going to be there, a lot of people. That was Jim's overarching point. He said not to criticize the Ivy League, but he didn't really see the point of, okay, let's cancel a conference tournament when you still intend to send another one of your teams to an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting argument. I don't think it would be too difficult to poke some holes into it.
You know,
for one thing, at this point, we don't know how the NCAA tournament is going to play out in terms of spectators. You know, the governor of Ohio came out earlier today and basically said there's not going to be spectators in Dayton for those first four games. Cleveland hosts a sub-regional site. Sounds like there's not going to be spectators for that. The mayor of Houston earlier today came out with a statement that basically said every city-related, quote-unquote, I'm not quite sure what city-related event means, but that's the way he described it, the language he used, would be postponed going forward in that city. They host the South Regional. You know, I thought it was interesting earlier this morning. And another thing, too, is, like, developments keep on happening, like, hour to hour. It seems like things are changing. And one thing that I thought was interesting this morning is that Kevin White, of course, the Duke athletic director, he is obviously on the Division I selection committee with the NCAA tournament, was supposed to be on a teleconference with media members. It's a usual thing. Every year they have this teleconference with media members this week, the week leading into the weekend of conference tournaments, to talk about NCAA tournament stuff, and they canceled that. I imagine because Kevin didn't want to answer a million questions just about what is the NCAA tournament going to do, how does coronavirus affect this and that. You know, so I think right now, as you and I are sitting here, Josh, no one really has a good idea of what's going to happen, how the NCAA is going to handle this thing. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here on Friday going into a night session at the ACC tournament here without spectators.
So let's compare and contrast, though. Rather than talk about, okay, the unknown, how this is going to progress over the next 2 days, as you mentioned, something that's hour to hour, how are the dynamics different between the NCAA and, say, the ACC. Of course, the news is going to be different next week, and based on every indication, things are probably going to be worse next week than they are this week. But it seems to me the NCAA is a little bit more corporate. If one site says that they're not going to be playing games to send a message, they probably might say, we're just going to shut them all down. The ACC, and Greensboro specifically, it seems to have different dynamics at play, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And let's be real, too. I mean, I think part of the ACC's reluctance to do a huge, overarching, grand sweeping change to the sermon is the fact that, you know, we're here in Greensboro. You know, this is such a big deal, this event, to have it here in Greensboro. It hasn't been here since 2015.
Do you think we're in Charlotte again? Like, if Charlotte was hosting it last year and then hosted it again this year, do you think the dynamics would be different?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I think the league would be more likely to say, hey, you know, we need to really take a serious look at not having spectators to protect people. I think there is a bit of hesitancy, reluctance, you know, just because there's been this perception, I think, here this week about kind of this being maybe a tryout longer term for the city of Greensboro to stay in this rotation. You know, obviously, you know, the ACC has taken this tournament sort of outside the traditional cities recently. It's been up to Washington, D.C. Well, of course, it's been there before, but up in D.C. a few years ago, Brooklyn twice, it's never been up there. And, yeah, I think there was sort of this thought that, you know, a great week here, a great tournament, people being fired up in Greensboro, really supporting this thing, like has historically been the case, would really help the ACC or really help Greensboro's cause in terms of making its case for future tournaments. And I do think that has, I think it has to have figured into some of the conversations behind the scenes.
It's Andrew Carter with us here. He's on Twitter at _AndrewCarter. He's a sports enterprise reporter, one of the best our state has. He's a multi-time NSMA. Multi-time NSMA? North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year? I know you've won it once before. So
no,
I
only one time. They realized they made a mistake and never did it again. So kudos to them.
Definitely one of my favorites, though. But let me ask you this. You've been in touch with folks at the ACC, even today, I'm sure. What is the latest you've heard from the Atlantic Coast Conference? Are they not wanting to talk about this, or have they spoken at all about the latest on this?
No, I feel like they've been as open as they can be about this. I don't think there really is a latest, per se, in terms of maybe not allowing fans in going forward. I think that remains an option. You know, I'm just sitting here thinking logically, irrationally. No one said that to me on the record or off the record. But I do think they continue to have these conversations. You know, I know they were on the phone on teleconferences basically all day yesterday with different people. I know there's been a ton of conversations with Governor Roy Cooper about how to handle this thing and what to do. And I think these conversations are continuing to develop and continuing to evolve. And you know, I think a big part of the challenge with this thing is there's really sort of a lack of real data so far. And that's been one of the criticisms. You know, you go on Twitter and read some of the comments on some of these threads, which you should never read the Twitter comments,
maybe.
No,
I try.
It's people like, you know, when the Ivy League just announced what they did, I read some of them, and it's people like, oh, there's only X number of cases, and it's a relatively small number. But there's been so many people who haven't been tested. Like, no one really knows the true number of people out there who might be carrying this thing or how widespread it is. And if you read up on it and look at what happened in Italy, which, of course, I think the U.S. is really trying to avoid becoming Italy in this regard. You know, they started with a very small number of cases, and it looked like, oh, not a big deal. And then a few weeks later, basically the entire country has been shut down because of the spread of this thing.
How surprised for that reason would you be if there are fans going to games at Greensboro Coliseum for the NCAA tournament?
How surprised would I be if there were fans?
Yeah.
Oh, very surprised at this point. Very surprised. Like, I think if you were to set the odds on that, it would be overwhelmingly in favor of the NCAA tournament here playing out next week in front of an empty arena, whether that's here at the Coliseum, whether that's somewhere else in Greensboro. You know, I just think it creates a weird dynamic, too, when you have some sites like the ones in Ohio, apparently,
yes,
which basically the governor has ordered you know, no fans being allowed in.
That includes the first four in Dayton. Too.
Right. So, how, you know, like if you're running the NCAA tournament, how do you sort of organize that logistically where you have some sites that have fans and some that don't? Like, I would think that you would want it to be pretty uniform and consistent.
Corporate, uniform, I think they like, do it across the board.
Right. So I would be, at this point, with what's come out today, basically these mandates that have been given that have said in some sites we're not going to have spectators. I would be surprised if there are spectators here at the Coliseum or elsewhere in Greensboro next week.
Andrew, appreciate you dropping by. We will be watching on as the tournament. Hopefully things get better and fans will be allowed to attend moving forward, but we'll continue to follow your work as well. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you having me, man.
That is Andrew Carter from the Raleigh News and Observer. He's on Twitter at @_AndrewCarter. BDOT, he takes me to school every single week, but coming up next, I actually take him to school. It's amazing. Keep it here on The Drive.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham.
Take it from me, you're driving everyone crazy.
Mission accomplished on Sports Hub Triad.
Welcome back to the show, Chris Lee.
Hey.
Formerly of WXII. Now, he's at WRAL as a sports anchor in the Triangle. We're very happy for you.
Haven't even moved yet. I still live in High Point.
You still live in High Point. Robert, what do the kids have to think of Chris Lee's opportunity? Are they very happy for Chris here or no?
Wow.
Right. Kids are on my side.
Yeah.
I love the kids, too.
Because the kids will boo your ass on here, but
yeah, they will.
Like, for real. Ask about Josh. Like, ask the kids what they think about him.
Yeah, what do you guys think about Josh and his dress attire in the court?
Oh, man. They
tough
hate
crowd.
You on your own show?
Tough crowd. Are those the same kids that were doing a race on the floor last night at the Greensboro Coliseum amid a health crisis? Might have been.
Yeah.
So we got BDOT. We got Chris Lee, who goes way back with Robert Walsh. Once upon a time, Robert Walsh was a referee.
That's crazy.
A wrestling referee.
He told me.
And Chris did some wrestling way back when.
He was nice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody likes each other here. Everybody loves everybody.
Yeah.
But I am not somebody who is great with the urban vernacular.
Fact.
Like, this is why we have this segment that we call BDOT's Grammar School, where I learn a number of words, a myriad of words, if you will.
What did you just say?
A myriad, like a lot.
There we go.
So
I hate when he does that, Chris. He tries to throw all these big words that he knows that I have to.
Myriad is not that big.
Oh, I don't use that. That's not in my jargon.
Myriad is not a big word, Doc. Come on.
Myriad is not a word that I use regularly. Aaron, do you use myriad? Aaron, I said, do you use myriad?
Use myriad a myriad of times.
I do.
Aaron, you're going to make him curse over here.
That's just the sound of BDOT answering the question from a reporter last night in a scrum. A reporter asked Brandon Robinson a question.
No, he asked Cole Anthony.
He asked Cole Anthony a question about B-Rob, and
you answered?
Yes.
He answered the question.
I don't know why.
I'll just play on the audio.
Let's just play the full sound.
Wait, no!
Hold on, let me hear this.
He loves that shot. I'd say that's his favorite shot.
Do you know what he said?
I do. I just asked him, as a matter of fact. He's gone.
What did you do? No one said.
I do. Well, I was just going to let you know.
Oh, I am. Doc's got to be the host everywhere. Like, he's going to come to your show and take over.
Andrew,
he's got to be the host everywhere.
Andrew Carter was just trying to get an answer, a soundbite, and BDOT was like, I do. I know the answer to that question.
Why did I do that show?
Because you've got to be the host everywhere.
You're talking to the microphone, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to put it right here.
Yeah, there you go.
I was trying not to catch coronavirus.
No, we disinfect these microphones.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Let's get to this, though. My vernacular when it comes to the Urban Dictionary, not great.
Yes.
I've learned what loud means. I've learned what dub means. I've learned what 12 means. I learned what dead ass means. Let's figure out together what the next word is going to be.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Damn.
Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn BDOT's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time
for B.'s Grammar School.
All right, now, Josh, today we're taking it up a notch. We've given you words. Today you get a phrase.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Three words in this phrase. The three words are, you so fluke. That is your phrase. You so fluke. Not only do you have to tell me what that means, but you will also have to use it in a sentence. And you know that. You so fluke. And, of course, people can call up. Give them the number, Josh.
336-777-1600. What does you so fluke mean? Give me some hints so I can arrive at the right conclusion. Chris Lee just immediately started laughing.
Because he knows it.
I mean, honestly, I think if you use your context clues, you could probably pick it up.
All right.
Like, whatever you're thinking off top, just go with it.
Just let me think about it for a second.
Yeah.
Let me stew. Robert, Aaron, where are you guys at here?
I think we both know what it is.
You should know this one, Josh.
Yeah,
this is not difficult.
It's not.
He's throwing you an alley right here.
He threw the alley.
Oh, he's Robert just messaged me to tell you that he says hi.
That was when you tried to say hey to me before the show came on. But
oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Now that right there, for that I say, Rob, you so fluke. I do. Thank you. Then he drops that. I'm gonna punch him in the belly.
Come on. Come on, Josh, you got this.
You so fluke.
Yes.
On Twitter at SportsUpTriad 336-777-1600.
And it's a negative phrase, Josh.
Yes, I'm aware.
Are you aware of that much?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. But now you know.
You ever been stood up on a date?
Many times.
You ever called her afterwards and asked her what's up?
Nah, I had more dignity than that. Like if they stand me up, I'm usually like, I get the idea here. I get what you're throwing down. I remember one time.
I hate when he says that.
I remember one time. I was racing to get to like a Starbucks first date. And I accidentally spilled like buffalo wings in my car, like on the floor, and I went to get it back in my container because, you know, 5-second rule.
Right.
Not great to talk about during the coronavirus and such. But they were saucy wings, so I accidentally got some on my pants a little bit. So I didn't realize this till I get to the Starbucks, and I'm mortified. I go straight to the bathroom to clean up a little bit. I'm worried she's going to show up like in 5 minutes. Yeah, then she stood me up. So I don't know what I should be more embarrassed about in that circumstance, that I got stood up on a date at Starbucks or that I got sauce
wrong
all over my pants.
I just tried to pass it to you, and you just dribbled like 15 times. Right? Yeah. So it's not, not even an assist anymore.
Shot clock violation.
He went James Harden anymore on the cop.
We've got Steven in Burlington who wants to give Josh a hint.
All right, Steven in Burlington, go right ahead. Give me a hint. The phrase, you so fluke.
Just a hint. I thought I was telling you. Okay, just a hint. Let me see.
Use it in a sentence if you don't mind.
Yeah, who would you tell
use
they
it
were
in
so
a
fluke?
Sentence.
Yeah, who would you consider fluke?
Well, I'd say Josh is fluke. He's in denial. You so fluke. Your grammar is so fluke.
Look at him using the wordplay, too. I like Steven.
That was fair. That was fair. That was fair. Your urban grammar is fluke.
You ever invited somebody on your show and they didn't show up?
Yes.
Robert gets more mad at those people than I do.
Robert, what would you say to those people?
You are so fluke. Don't have them back on the show. They're too fluky.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Hey, did you hear those comments that Patrick Beverly said about LeBron James?
Oh,
I do.
Oh, man.
Shut up, Rob. Did you hear those comments? When he says, yo, it wasn't hard guarding LeBron James.
No challenge.
Yeah, no challenge.
No challenge.
So that I would say, dude, you're so fluke.
Wouldn't it be he so fluke?
Well, he is so fluke, but I would tell him. I would tell Patrick Beverly.
Got it.
Dude, you're so fluke.
Okay, I think.
Here we go.
I think I have this figured out, you guys.
You should.
Okay? You so fluke means...
He's serious too, Sean.
That you get really super nervous and that you don't want to hang out with somebody anymore.
Mm.
No! I thought I had that one.
Take
Shucks.
The reasons. Take the reasons all the way out.
Bruh.
Put some soul into it, bro.
Fact, man.
You know what we saying.
Come to the cookout, bro. Come to the cookout, bro.
Out.
Take
you
the raisins out the tater salad, bro. Okay? My God.
Josh, you got this, bro. No, I just guessed. I got it wrong. So that's
Oh, that's it. That's your guess. You so fluke means you're whack.
Oh,
you
thank
are so
you.
Whack. You are so like fluke, the word fluke.
So is fluke, is that a synonym with flake? Like you flake out on somebody? Is flake the
No, there isn't a past tense or a present participle or like please stop making it
I mean,
so deep.
It could be, but
it could
when
be
he's
what?
Going, it could be like you flaked out on me. But
yeah, that so made you fluke.
Flake is
yeah,
more regular vernacular. That's like almost Caucasity Urban or Dictionary. Caucasity Dictionary.
Good
oh,
job,
Rob. Oh, he flaked on me. Dang
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and then I would say, damn, he
Shucks.
Did. He's so fluke.
My burger doesn't have mayonnaise.
What?
To all that talk about cookout got Josh.
I was clearly. Thinking I was going to come on and talk about sports. Are we talking about
nope.
fluke right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is dope. I love it. I love it, man.
Tell us about this new opportunity you have before we let you go.
Because that's not fluke.
No, it's not fluke.
That's
not at all. Because you've spent how many years in the triad?
I've been here all my life. I've never lived outside of Guilford County.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm going to move. Yeah, she can't believe it over here.
I'm going to, like, wow.
I'm going to move to Raleigh. I'm going to be the first African-American sports anchor at WRAL.
I grew up watching that
I'm
going to
be the lead sports anchor there. This is Market 49. REL Raleigh's Market 27. We'll move up to Market 23 next year.
Mm.
And so this is a good opportunity for me to step up, show what I can do at a big market, but still cover the same teams.
That's
so
amazing.
It's pretty easy
yeah.
from that standpoint.
Well, I'm very thrilled for you. I know you got a lot of work to do here at the ACC tournament. Thanks for playing around with us and indulging us in our nonsense.
I missed the triad.
All right. And BDOT, thanks for being here as well. We're going to send you into the locker room. Where you have a ton of great work to do tonight.
I
don't
do.
Answer a reporter's question.
I feel like you played me today on the show, Josh, and for that I say you so fluke.
All right, we're gonna talk to BDOT. We're here for BDOT later in the week. That's Chris Lee. He's on Twitter at Chris Lee TV LEA. And I gotta use the word in the tease.
There we go.
I gotta use you so fluke in the tease.
What's coming up next?
All right, here's what's coming up. Up next, if you think UNC is going to make a run to Saturday,
oh, I do.
You so fluke.
Hey.
This is The Drive.
What you the so hell fluke. Was that?
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves writing sports poetry, but he can't think of a rhyme for puck.
Oh, I get it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Now being joined at the ACC tournament in Greensboro by Wes Durham. We've been talking about
is this
being
the drive
here.
With Josh Graham?
This is the drive with
Excellent.
Josh Graham.
This is one of my favorite shows that I appear on a semi-regular to regular basis.
We've been talking how long about the ACC tournament's return to Greensboro? It's been months we've been talking about it. Greensboro's been spending years talking about it. Now that it's finally here.
Awesome.
Where's the nostalgia at? Where's all that?
Trust me, all you got to do is go sit in the building like in the morning when we get here to do Packer and Durham. Mark and I sit in that south end zone on that platform, and there's nobody in the building except the people that are helping us get the show on the air. There are a couple of maintenance and custodial people, but Packer's like, oh, you remember over there on the floor when that happened? Or do you remember when, you know, Bill Walton and UCLA ran to this end of the building, you know, in the first half of the national semifinal in 1974. Do you remember? And he was here in the building in 95 when Randolph had his moments. I came back into the league the next year to start doing Georgia Tech when Tim Duncan had 20-some rebounds in the championship game to beat the Yellow Jackets. Coach Smith's last tournament was in this building, Josh.
Yeah.
Carolina won, beating Maryland in the semifinals and Wake in the championship game. So, yeah, there's a lot I remember. And the building it's got that history to it. I mean, I said this last week when I was up here to do an event. The walls will talk to you if you go in there early enough. You know, you can just kind of remember all the things that have transpired over the course of the 26 previous times this event's been here. And obviously it's been here twice as many times as it's been to any other location in the footprint.
I asked Jeff Capel about that yesterday,
yeah.
and he said that you look at all the greats that's played in college basketball, odds are they've played at some point in this building. In the history of it,
yeah.
you're not going to find anything else like it. In fact, if you just look at conference tournaments across college basketball, I don't think you can find an equivalent in today's college basketball in 2020 to what Greensboro represents for this league.
Not a singular building. The only thing that would be potentially close is Nashville. When the SEC killed their tournament, brought their tournament back, Nashville, but at the time it was Memorial Gym. They've only done a handful of times at Bridgestone Arena. I would say probably the Pac-12, Pac-10 never had a tournament for a long time. The Big Ten never had a tournament for a long time. The Big 12 in Kansas City, not in the same building, obviously. They were at the new Kemper Arena. They were downtown at the auditorium for years. Then they moved out to what Sprint Center, I guess, is what it is now. And now they're going back and forth with Dallas and Oklahoma City, I think, in the future and things like that. But a singular building. There has not been a college basketball event like the Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament and the relationship they've had with Greensboro. And remember how it developed now. The conference tournament started under the wishes of Everett Case at NC State, who had, you know, obviously come in from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what the high school basketball championship in the state of Indiana meant. So when they brought the basketball tournament and the ACC was formed in the early 50s, Case thought a tournament was necessary to amplify the popularity of the league.
And they were all in Raleigh.
And the first 13 were in Raleigh. First 13 years, mm-hmm. Raleigh. Then Charlotte, 1 year. What we now know as Bojangles Arena on Independence, the Chrome Dome is what Packer calls it because he's lived there forever. And then it came to Greensboro. Now, remember, the first time it was in this building was two major renovations ago. Okay? The late 1960s, when the building first hosted the ACC tournament, sat less than 10,000 seats.
Less than 10,000 seats.
9350, I think. 93, 97-ish.
Do you remember the first time you walked in here?
For the tournament?
Yes.
1978. I did not come until I was 12 years old. Never sat in a seat at the ACC tournament until I went to Charlotte after I graduated college. The first times I ever came to the ACC tournament, I came to the tournament either on the practice day with my dad when I was in college at Elon. But in 1978, I was the officials attendant. I was the attendant to the officials locker room. Carolina won. They beat Duke on a Saturday night. Dudley Bradley was the MVP. I came 78, 79, 80. Yes, 81. They went to Maryland. That was Sam Perkins. Freshman year, he was the MVP. 82, they came back. I went to 83, was in Atlanta, didn't go to that. 84 was here, and that was Maryland. Len Bias beat Duke, championship game. Len Bias was the MVP. I was at that tournament, and then I did not come back to a tournament in Greensboro during my college years. I came over here and met my dad. We had lunch on the practice day, and I was getting career advice. But anyway, long story short, that's the way. And this is my 20. Until somebody asked me, I've done 25 professionally since Georgia Tech and now television. And I am doing, this is 31 or 32 in some other form or fashion.
It's West Durham with us, Packer and Durham on the ACC Network. Mm. You can watch every morning. Let's look ahead to the game that a lot of people are going to be paying attention to tonight. It's
okay.
North Carolina. It's Syracuse.
Right.
And these two teams, they met 10 days ago, North Carolina, it was their most convincing road win this year. Mm-hmm. Not many to pick between.
Right.
One at UNCW. They won as well in Raleigh. This was their most convincing win. It seems like to me, Wes, that this is the perfect matchup for North Carolina, considering the way they've been shooting, going up against that Syracuse zone.
Sure.
North Carolina, from a matchup standpoint, and obviously the crowd being behind them, is that where you're leaning in terms of who has an advantage at 9 o'clock tonight?
Sure. Only because I think Carolina hit a ton of threes. Cole Anthony hit 7, and they look pretty solid against the zone. You know, roll the same game plan out. I'm sure, you know, Boeheim makes adjustments with the way he plays it and the pressure points around it, things of that nature. Joe Girard, Buddy Boeheim, and Elijah Hughes will have to have big games, I think, for Syracuse to advance. Syracuse didn't instill a lot of confidence in many people going down the stretch now. I mean, lost an overtime game on the last day of the regular season at Miami.
Yeah.
You know, didn't win the last home game at the Dome.
They lost 2 of their last 3, 5 of their last
yep.
8, and 7 of their last 11.
Exactly. I mean, there was one point where we had Syracuse in the thing, and now they're not in the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we sort it out, see how it goes. But Carolina's playing with a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence. I thought they fought off a pretty sluggish start last night, which was important. You know, I mean, offensively, Brandon Robinson knocked down a couple shots, it could be a lot different.
Randolph Childress-like crossover he had on that left wing, I would say.
Well, after Cole Anthony did the inverted spin to clear him for the zone. I mean, I'm telling you, Cole Anthony's move to get him the ball will get lost in the whole deal. But that was and Corey Alexander and I were like, holy smokes, how good is that move? And then Brandon Robinson double downed on it. So, I think Carolina's playing with a lot of confidence. I think they're getting a three-man game going, which is important. Having the confidence to have Brooks and Robinson and Anthony on the floor at the same time is huge. Tonight will be the ninth ACC game they've had all three guys. We've missed a lot of what Carolina's potential could be simply because of injury or other things this year.
And they have a winning record when those three guys are out on the floor, which is a crazy thing, too.
Four and four.
Oh, they lost against Duke.
That's it.
Last Saturday.
4-4.
So 4-4 on the year. We're being joined by Wes Durham, spending some time with us here from the ACC Network. So this tournament, obviously, the big question is going to be, when is a decision going to be made about whether or not the tournament is going to return to Greensboro, Charlotte, because you have D.C. and Brooklyn next. You talk about these walls, and they speak to the history of all these things. When you look across college basketball, or maybe just all of college sports, Texas, they should play Texas A&M. Business checks in, and then they don't play each other anymore. A&M leads to the SEC.
Right.
Duke, they play NC State once every 6 years in football. That happens when leagues expand and you have divisions. I get that. How much do you think the tradition and all the things we've been spending talking about the last few minutes matters to the powers that be when you consider 9 new ADs have been hired in this conference since the last time a tournament was played?
Yeah, I was here last week at an event with Ed Hardin, who outlined all the new athletic directors and new presidents and things like that that would be here this week. I think there's a place in the rotation going forward for Greensboro. I think it's important to the history of the league. I think the new schools certainly understand it. I mean, we had Mike Bray on our set on Tuesday. He understands it. And Mike Bray is a guy who's been at Notre Dame 20 years, who wanted to be in this league and yet understands the value of coming to Greensboro. I think Jim Boeheim's backed off the statement he made a couple of years ago.
I saw his comment from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, I know you talked to him and got some of that where he walked it back, and that's good. I mean, I think that's the right thing to do. Jeff Capel, it means a lot to. Martin Jarman's from Fayetteville, North Carolina, the athletics director at Boston College.
John Curry
knows. He's from Chapel Hill. Went to high school with my brother. I mean,
Boo Corrigan as well.
Yeah, Boo Corrigan. I mean, come on now.
Exactly.
I mean, Boo Corrigan's not going to vote no. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I think what we're getting to is there's a little bit of a red alert here. And, look, there are other markets where the ACC – and, look, now I'm one of these guys. The whole deal changed in 2007. I mean, everybody can talk about Brooklyn. This deal changed in 07 when we went to Tampa, Florida. Okay? Don't say, well, we can't go here, we can't go there, we can't go X, Y, Z. We can go to Pittsburgh, we can go to Boston, we can go to Miami, we can go wherever anybody wants. We can go to Chicago if they want us. And you say, well, why? Because we went to Tampa. And I've been pretty consistent with that for a long time. 07 changed the game for this event. And it was important to investigate what that tournament would be like in Florida, just as it was important to – we shouldn't have let 2005 D.C. be the last time we went to D.C. So when we went back to D.C., look what happened. Downtown's a totally different deal around the arena now, the Chinatown section, all of that. That all counts, okay? Brooklyn, nobody cares, da-da-da. Okay, it's not Greensboro. It's not Charlotte. It's not in the heart of the footprint, Josh. But there's nothing wrong with the fact that you can actually do something for a market that you're going to be in from some presence or another, television, whatever it may be, school, whatever the case may be. So I understand Greensboro needs to be in the rotation, but are we ever going to have a sequence where Greensboro hosted 5 straight years? No. We're not going to have a sequence, I don't think, going forward at the current pace where anybody hosted for 5 straight years. I'd be really surprised if we saw that.
Enjoyed
and three might be the max.
I enjoyed you on the call last night.
Thanks.
Is your go-to M&Ms, you go chips? Like, what's the strategy here for West Durham at the ACC tournament?
Bottle water.
Water guy.
Yeah, because you start getting into the snack deal, you can get in trouble.
Sparkling water, or are we talking Dasani Aquafina?
Well, you got to stay Aquafina because it's a Pepsi building, I guess, don't we?
There you go. This guy.
No, we're not drinking the sodas, I can promise you that. I don't drink sodas anyway, but I definitely wouldn't drink the taste born in the Carolinas.
Wes, you're the absolute best.
Thanks, Josh. You bet.
That is Wes Durham joining us a short while ago. That's before we received the breaking news of the NCAA deciding first and second round games are going to be held without fans due to the coronavirus outbreak. That includes the Greensboro Coliseum hosting games next Friday and Sunday. The start of the tournament going to be without fans. It's going to be surreal. It's going to be strange. While that interview is playing, I've gone around the Coliseum to get more information, and I'll bring you the latest that we know at this moment what's happening with the ACC tournament here in Greensboro. And, oh, yeah, if you have thoughts on this, we're going to open up the phone lines. We haven't opened up many of the lines today because we're on location and we've had a lot of great guests go through. But if you have thoughts on the subject, 336-777-1600. The two questions I have, is this overblown, properly received, or underblown, this virus and how it's become just a pandemic, not just in the United States, but internationally? And also, what do you think should happen with the ACC tournament moving on this week? Heck, even tonight, 7 o'clock games, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock games here at the tournament in Greensboro, moving forward Thursday and Friday. 336-777-1600 if you have thoughts on that. We will bring you all that we know next on The Drive.
Hey.
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 This is...
What is this?
The Drive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You dig it?
Oh, God.
With Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
All right, here's what we know from the ACC. This is a statement put out a short while ago. A tweet more than a statement, but I guess a tweet in and of itself is a statement. To the important information, Josh, go ahead. Tonight's ACC tournament games at 7 and 9 o'clock are going to proceed as planned. This is more from the conference. We are aware of the announcement by the NCAA and will evaluate the remainder of the tournament. More information will be forthcoming. The Big East tournament has announced that their games are going to go on with fans in attendance. The SEC seems to be following suit as well. I don't think it's coincidental that the ACC in that statement did not include fans, whether or not they're going to be in attendance, because quite frankly, I don't think they know the answer to that question right now. I'm looking at other stories just left and right about the coronavirus that are related to the ACC. One comes from Andy Bitter, who says Virginia Tech is canceling any school-sponsored events before April the 30th that draw more than 100 people. Athletic events are an exception at this time and will continue. The Hokies spring game, April the 18th, though it's unclear how it impacts the start of, conclusion of spring football, that is something that is being monitored. Your thoughts are welcome on the subject, 336-777-1600. This is a time where I'm just generally interested in how people are feeling, even though I'm discouraged with that sentiment when I look at Twitter. There's a lot of dumb that's on Twitter right now, but I think that might as well be the mantra of Twitter at this point. On Twitter at SportsUpTriumph, if you would like to chime in. As the Wes Durham interview that we taped before the show played, I walked around the Coliseum trying to get some information, as everybody's trying to do. People are breaking reports, and people are trying to report what's happening and this massive NCAA news. And you might be sitting in your car right now wondering what the hell is the scene like at the Greensboro Coliseum right now. Well, this is it. People taking straw polls left and right. Hey, how do you feel about this? Hey, how do you feel about this? Patrick Keenis, who is going to be broadcasting, who has been broadcasting games for Westwood One for a while, broadcasting ACC tournament games, he asked me, hey, I got a straw poll going. Do you think this is overblown, properly blown, underblown, this coronavirus deal? And I said, well, since it's not just us, since it's 16 other countries that are being locked down as a result of it, I would have to say it's properly blown, to use the expression. He said to me, you're the first person who has said that it's either properly blown or underblown. Everybody else has said it's overblown. And to that, and you might be one of those people that feel that way. Heck, there are people very close to me who have expressed similar sentiments. And to that I say, not all of us are specialists. Not all of us are experts on every damn thing. Just because we have a Twitter account or we're on Facebook and we can express however we feel doesn't mean that we should feel qualified on every single subject. I am willing to say when I'm not an expert on something. And I'm not an expert on this. So the follow-up question I got from my good friend Patrick was, would you agree if they disallowed fans from attending the games? And would I disagree if fans were allowed to attend games? And I said, well, I can't disagree with it, but I don't know if I agree with it. That's the best answer I could give. Because, again, I don't want to be the one that says that this entire thing's overblown when people are dying across the country, literally. I spent a lot of time in eastern North Carolina. I get, and a lot of people in this state that can relate to this, time in Wilmington, time on the coast. Pandemics, weather crises such as a hurricane or a tornado, they do not play on our schedules. They do not give a damn about the ACC tournament that's going on in Greensboro right now, right? So I've seen how these things can upend things. And in times in eastern North Carolina, I just remember you just had to say, all right, well, this is more important right now. This is more important than any sporting event. The sports are going to be there eventually. Our culture is going to return to where it was at some point, right? This is a time that it's something we're less familiar with, right? Hurricanes, we get the deal. Tornadoes, we get the deal. This is something that's unprecedented. So when something's new, something's unprecedented, something that we don't know that much about, naturally we're going to push back on these things and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal because swine flu, because Ebola, as if we're all experts on these things in the first place. Again, not claiming to be much of an expert, but it does seem like that this is far different than that when it's not just us. It's other countries and things are getting shut down. I know you listen to this show for sports. You listen to it for fun. You listen to it for giggles. You listen to it as an escape of things. But now this has infiltrated the sports world, and we simply can't avoid it. We are sitting in it right now in the Greensboro Coliseum as they're waiting to make a decision whether or not fans are going to be permitted to enter the building for 7 and 9 o'clock games later on tonight. That's what's happening this moment. So that's the question that I'm posing right now. Robert, please protect me on this too, and screen away thoughts that I don't want to say are ridiculous because I don't want to sound so dismissive, but I don't want to hear anything about conspiracy. I don't want to hear anything about hype. I don't want to hear anything about social media or media creation here. This is a message. When millions of people, millions of dollars are being sacrificed and being turned away, the chips are being turned away by the NCAA in the name of safety, I don't think we can use hype train as an argument in any way. Sorry to interrupt you, Aaron. What do you got?
No, that was me. I was just saying that's why we haven't had any phone calls yet. I didn't think anything was really information-driven and everything was kind of, as you stated it, hype-driven. So...
Right.
If I have any to pass along, Aaron does have something to add, though.
What do you got?
I do think it's fair to call certain outlooks or certain opinions on this ridiculous, because when you have organizations like the World Health Organization giving you guidelines and parameters, and you're sitting up in your one-bedroom apartment or in your mama's basement going, this is a conspiracy
well,
and a hoax.
Well, let's stop. Let me stop you real quick. It's an easy dismissal to say one-bedroom apartment, sitting at your parents' house, whatever that is, but there are very... There are esteemed people. There are people who are confused of any stature who might feel the way that you're expressing right now.
And that's true.
It might be ridiculous, but I'm right. Just saying that I don't want to be so dismissive of that.
Right. I get that, and I understand that. But for you to disagree with, quote-unquote, like you mentioned earlier, experts, these are people who have committed their lives to studying infectious diseases.
Of course.
And all of a sudden you know better than them. It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Here's the way I feel about it. I'm looking at tournament sites that are also conference tournament sites, NCAA tournament sites that are also conference tournament sites. The only one I see right now, with the exception of the Horizon League playing in Indianapolis, but not at the same venue NCAA tournament games are going to be held. Greensboro is the only ACC or only conference tournament site that is also hosting NCAA tournament games. How bad of a look would it be if one of the sites that the NCAA has just deemed unsafe to hold fans for NCAA tournament games Thursday, or make it Friday and Sunday of next week, how bad of a look would it be if they decide, yeah, we're gonna have fans, not just tonight, but also tomorrow and Friday? My gut feeling, this is an opinion, this is not based in fact. God knows, we're all still just trying to get information right now. My gut is this. They're going to let the fans in tonight. People have come across the state to attend tonight's game. They have to make that call in the next 10 to 15 minutes. They said they were going to go on. They're going to let the fans in tonight, if I had to guess. And I don't think – I think there is a 10 to 20% chance that they let fans in tomorrow. That is the way I feel. I mean, it's now – before this statement from the NCAA, it was, will the ACC feel tempted to act on their own and decide, hey, we're not going to have fans in the stands? That's what we were talking to Andrew Carter about when he joined us earlier. Now it's not just that. Now you have to answer for the fact, okay, the NCAA has decided that your location can't hold fans next week. And you have to answer for bringing fans in Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Answer for why, how those two things can be true. How you can have NCAA tournament sites, an NCAA tournament without fans here in Greensboro next week, and still hold fans at the ACC tournament this week. Darren Vaught's getting ready to call a game later on tonight. He's going to call North Carolina. So I'm interested in what you think on this. The questions I'm asking, I'm trying to keep it as basic as possible. 336-777-1600 on Twitter at SportsHubTryIt. Properly rated or properly blown, overblown, underblown, and do you think the ACC lets fans in tonight?
I don't know. Man, right, because like you said, we're all in more than anything just an information gathering state right now. And look, you and I know plenty of ACC officials. We have seen them, like, frantically.
But I'm asking you about your gut right now.
Thing too.
Yeah, people were just running around left and right trying to learn
my
things.
My gut is all kinds of places.
What about for tomorrow?
I do not think it happens for tomorrow, letting fans in. I think if fans are watching tonight, they will not be tomorrow. Either way, I think it's entirely possible. I was expecting an announcement by now as to whether
they said
not.
They're going on as planned.
Right.
To assume that means that fans are coming in tonight.
Correct. And I don't. It's just there are so many layers and so many variables. I'm glad I'm not the person making that call and making that decision. To me, it would be pretty easy, but I understand
an incredibly difficult decision.
No, for sure. But I understand. I understand the nuances of it and the idea that, as you presented, this is the same venue, one of those venues that the NCAA has said will not hold fans later this month for NCAA tournament games. So it begs the question, why would you now if you're not going to then?
All right, let's go around the room. Robert, how do you feel?
I feel good. I don't think I have the sickness, but let me put it this way. I've been pondering it a little bit. I feel like if we're going to overreact, a global pandemic is a good thing to overreact to. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be on the safe side than sick.
Right. And to the people who say, oh, it's just the sick people like, stay away.
You have a grandparent.
Stay
you know
away from
with kids.
There it is. Stay away from the arena, because, or if you're older than 60 or whatever, like, we're not necessarily just worried about you because you might be younger than 60 years old. Here's the other thing that's being forgotten about this. Even though you might not be conversing with older than 60-year-old types, those in their 70s or 75 years old, at the ACC tournament in Greensboro, you can contract this. And while you might not have the symptoms, you can then the next time you see them pass it along. It's
it's about people who are going to assume that they are okay and thus are going to continue to travel. And they can contract it and carry it elsewhere
and that's why
be
it's
primarily
so
just the carrier. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Aaron, how do you feel?
I'm concerned because, one, our job is in sports. Our job is to be around these large gatherings of people. I have a one-year-old at home. I have a elderly, immune-compromised person at home. I may be young and fit and able to handle an illness. However, there are people in my family who are not, and I have a responsibility to them. And I think other people should take responsibility, you know, and we're talking about basketball here. We're talking about basketball.
Let me ask you this, Aaron. I just want to ask you from a human aspect here. You dipped out of the tournament very early yesterday. Was this on your mind?
It was. I had a conversation with my lady and the mother of my child. We talked about it the night before yesterday briefly. And then, you know, sitting in the stadium where it was empty, looking at those empty seats, I had second thoughts. We had a normal conversation and made a decision to come home. That it wasn't worth it. It's just not worth the risk. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm terribly wrong and I look like a scared chicken crap later.
I think it goes without saying. I hope people who are taking that precaution are
there are people driving in their cars to the Greensboro Coliseum right now.
It's not necessarily that you would be wrong, Aaron. It would be that we would never find out because we're taking necessary precautions, right? I mean, it's not like if you're wrong.
Yeah, and what I don't want to hear today, there are a ton of things I don't want to hear, but one of the things I don't want to hear is how afflicted you are, how much of a victim we are,
sure.
Because, you know, we don't get to experience the Greensboro Coliseum and the ACC tournament.
You should hear the callers that we've gotten about that.
Where's
am I going to get – how do I get my money back? I'm like, look, dude, I'm not the NCAA.
No,
I don't know anything about your tickets or your money.
You're probably going to get your money back, I'm sure, for all of those things. But,
if Ivy League student-athletes are going to get a year of eligibility back, you're going to get money.
There's a reason I haven't really brought this up. I mean, I got a trip to Italy next month. I do. But the reason I haven't talked about it is, again, woe is me. Bleep off with that. Woe is me. There are a lot worse situations than somebody who can't attend a wedding in Italy next month because – This disease has affected so many and has shut down countries. And the same thing for this ACC tournament. And you're probably hard-pressed to find someone who loves college basketball as much as I do, where I watch it every single night. I've been looking forward to this tournament for so long. It's one of the reasons I took this job, to be honest. Like, I want to cover events such as this.
Right.
So I get it. I 100% get it. But I don't want to hear woe is me because, again, we're not the ones that are truly afflicted in this, at least not yet.
And
yes, Aaron.
To what you were saying, yesterday was my first opportunity to cover an ACC tournament. That was my first opportunity. You don't think I wanted to be there? You don't think I wanted to take all that in? I absolutely did. But it's not worth a risk. I don't know enough. I don't have enough information to make that risk on behalf of someone, my daughter specifically, who can't defend herself.
I hear you. Robert? Let's try to lighten things up a bit.
There is no lightening up, Josh.
Oh, come on. There has to be, Robert.
I am sick and tired of being sick and tired, but I'd do it for $450,000.
All right. That's the tease. We take it to the house next.